Welcome to 5 at 8. I'm Mark Overman, and this morning I'm joined by Linda Carlisle. It's Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. In this episode, we'll talk about new research suggesting Mars influences deep ocean currents on Earth, a U.S. Army ship heading to Gaza with aid, Chinese banks providing a loan to bail out property developer China Vanke, a report on the national security risks of artificial intelligence, and the attack on Alexei Navalny ally Leonid Volkov in Lithuania. Story number one. New research suggests that Mars influences deep ocean currents on Earth, leading to the formation of giant whirlpools. Scientists found that deep sea currents weaken and strengthen over 2.4 million year climate cycles, which are linked to interactions between Mars and Earth orbiting the Sun. These cycles affect ocean currents and warming on Earth, but are not connected to current human-caused climate change. The study provides valuable insights into past ocean circulation changes and the potential impacts of a collapse of the Atlantic meridional overturning circulation. The findings suggest that intense deep ocean eddies in a warmer world may prevent ocean stagnation. CNN reports that. It's mind-blowing, isn't it, Linda? How our neighbor Mars, all those millions of miles away, influences our deep sea currents. This research really underscores the fact that everything in our universe is interconnected in ways we might not even imagine.
The idea of resonance between Earth and Mars causing these changes is fascinating. The gravitational push and pull, a kind of harmonization as the study puts it, changing the shape of their orbits and ultimately affecting our climate. It's like a celestial dance with earthly implications.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And these giant whirlpools or eddies that are created, they're not just spinning around for the fun of it. They're eroding the seafloor, causing big accumulations of sediments like underwater snowdrifts. It's a whole world down there being shaped by this Mars-Earth interaction.
True. And the use of sediment cores to map these changes is another proof of how technology aids in our understanding of natural phenomena. It's like reading the Earth's diary, going back millions of years. Even though we've only had satellite data for a few decades, these sediment cores help us build a picture of the past.
And the importance of understanding this past cannot be overstated, especially with the current trajectory of human-induced warming. While these Mars-Earth cycles are natural and not linked to today's rapid heating, the geological record can provide us with valuable insights about how the oceans operate in a warmer world.
And while the authors suggest that these eddies might help mitigate some of the impacts of potential shifts in crucial ocean circulations, it's essential to remember the complexity of these systems. We must continue to study, understand, and respect the delicately balanced dance of our planet.
Story number two. A U.S. Army ship has left for Gaza with equipment to build a temporary pier for aid delivery, expected to take weeks. The shipment includes food for millions of meals. The United Nations and humanitarian organizations warn of famine in Gaza, where most rely on food aid. The aid will be routed through Cyprus and inspected by Israel before reaching Gaza. The U.S. plans to build a floating pier for aid delivery. Israel has imposed restrictions on aid entering Gaza, leading to a humanitarian crisis. Several nations have resorted to airdrops, which have resulted in casualties. According to Washington Post, this mission is crucial in addressing the dire situation in Gaza. Is it just me? Or does this whole situation sound like a logistical nightmare? I mean, it's already complicated enough trying to get aid to people in need, but when you throw in conflict and politics, it's like trying to navigate through a minefield.
It certainly is a complex situation, Mark. Distributing aid in conflict zones presents a myriad of challenges. Not only do they have to navigate the logistical issues, but there's also the political landscape to contend with. In the case of Gaza, the maritime corridor is a promising step, but it's still a long way from becoming a fully functional aid route.
Yeah, it's clear that they're trying to find innovative solutions like this temporary pier the U.S. Army is building. I mean, that's pretty impressive, right?
Absolutely. And it demonstrates the crucial role the military can play in humanitarian operations. However, it's important to remember that military involvement can also complicate matters. It can sometimes lead to tensions and mistrust, and it's essential that the military's role is clearly defined and transparent.
And then there's the issue of how the aid actually gets into Gaza. These aid drops sound like they're doing more harm than good with that parachute malfunction and all.
Yes, it's a tragic example of the risks associated with aid delivery. Airdrops can be an effective way to deliver aid in certain circumstances, but they are not without their downsides. They can be expensive and inefficient, and as we've seen, they can even lead to casualties. It's a stark reminder of the need for safe and reliable methods of aid delivery.
It's such a tangled web, isn't it? There's the political side of things, with Israel denying its limiting aid and pointing fingers at the United Nations. It just adds another layer to an already convoluted situation.
Yes. Politics often plays a significant role in humanitarian aid operations, and this can add to the complexity. It's crucial that all parties involved prioritize the needs of the people and work together to ensure that aid reaches those who need it most. It requires a delicate balance of diplomacy, negotiation, and cooperation.
So, what's the takeaway here, Linda? Where do we go from here?
The key takeaway, Mark, is that there's no one-size-fits-all solution. Each conflict zone presents its own unique challenges, and it requires a multifaceted approach. It's about finding innovative solutions, like the maritime corridor, while also addressing the underlying political issues. Above all, it's about ensuring that aid reaches those who need it most, in the safest and most efficient way possible.
Story number three. Chinese banks are working to provide a large loan to bail out property developer Chinavanka after its credit rating was downgraded to junk status. The company is facing financial difficulties due to a decline in demand for apartments and home prices. Vanka's stock rose following reports of potential new financing. Moody's cut Vanka's rating due to weakening credit metrics and financial flexibility. The company was considered financially sound before its cash crunch became public. The real estate crisis in China has been ongoing since 2021, with several major developers struggling to repay debts. The Chinese government has implemented stimulus measures to revive the sector, but has stated it will not bail out developers in serious trouble. According to CNN, this development is significant in the ongoing real estate crisis in China. It's quite something, isn't it, Linda? This ongoing crisis in China's real estate industry is starting to look like a house of cards. The credit rating of Chinavanka, one of the country's biggest property developers, being downgraded to junk status by Moody's, is just the latest domino to fall. It's reminiscent of the 2008 housing bubble in the United States. A lot of big players thought they were untouchable, only to find out they were standing on shaky ground.
It's a complex situation and a cautionary tale about the risks associated with uncontrolled growth in the real estate sector. The fact that Vanka, which was once seen as financially solid, is now facing potential collapse does raise questions about broader global financial dynamics. It's clear that this crisis isn't isolated, with parallels being drawn with giants like Evergrande and Country Garden.
Right you are, Linda. And it's not just about these giants, right? The ripple effect is going to be significant and hard-hitting. The real estate industry is a major pillar of China's economy, employing millions of people and contributing substantially to the country's GDP. This crisis could have dire consequences for the broader economy, not just in China, but globally as well.
That's true, Mark. And it brings us to another key aspect of this issue, the role of the Chinese government. Their efforts so far seem to be a mixed bag. On one hand, they are working tirelessly to inject liquidity into the market and support the reasonable financing needs of real estate developers, as stated by Ni Hong, China's housing minister. Yet on the other hand, they've made it clear that they won't bail out developers that are seriously in trouble.
Yeah, it's a tough call, Linda, and it's reminiscent of the dilemmas faced during the 2008 housing crisis in the U.S., whether to bail out the big banks or let them fail. It's a balance between preventing a complete collapse and not encouraging reckless business practices through bailouts. And let's not forget, there's a whole world watching. The global implications of this crisis are immense. China's real estate industry is deeply intertwined with the global economy.
Definitely, Mark. The ripple effects of this crisis could be felt globally. And it's not just about the economic impact. The social implications are significant too, considering the number of people who've invested their life savings into these properties. It's a precarious situation, and it will be interesting to see how the Chinese government navigates this crisis in the coming months.
Story number four. In a report from CNN, a report commissioned by the U.S. State Department warns of catastrophic national security risks posed by rapidly evolving artificial intelligence, stating that the most advanced AI systems could threaten the human species. The report calls for urgent government intervention to address these dangers, including launching a new AI agency and imposing regulatory safeguards. Concerns include the weaponization of AI and the potential for losing control of AI systems. The report highlights the need for policies and safeguards to address these risks, especially regarding the development of artificial general intelligence, AGI. Should we take a moment to really digest the implications of this report? It's clear that AI's potential isn't just about making life easier or powering businesses. It's a double-edged sword. The same technology that can help us cure diseases and make scientific breakthroughs can also bring about risks that are, frankly, of catastrophic proportions.
The idea that we could potentially lose control of these AI systems is deeply concerning. When you consider the scale of the damage that could occur, it's reminiscent of the fears and concerns during the dawn of nuclear weapons. This isn't just about technological advancement anymore, it's about ethics. It's about responsibility.
Right you are, Linda. The parallels to nuclear weapons are striking. And just as we did then, we need to find a way to balance the potential benefits with the risks. We need to ensure that this technology is developed and used responsibly, for the betterment of society and not its destruction.
And that's where the role of government comes into play. The report clearly states a need for intervention, for the establishment of a new AI agency, and for the implementation of regulatory safeguards. The government, in essence, needs to act as the balancing force, much like it did during the nuclear age.
But let's not forget, we're not the only players on the field here. There's talk of an AI arms race, which means we have to consider the actions and reactions of other countries too. This isn't just a national issue. It's a global one.
This is indeed a global issue, and it calls for a global response. We need collaborative international dialogue and action to manage these risks. The fate of our world may just depend on our ability to come together on this.
Story number 5. Alexei Navalny ally Leonid Volkov was attacked in Lithuania with a hammer and tear gas outside his home. The motive of the unknown assailant is unclear. Lithuanian police are investigating the incident. Volkov, who has faced politically motivated charges in Russia, suffered injuries to his leg and arm. He has been living outside Russia for safety reasons and continued the activism of Navalny's team. Many activists have joined him abroad after Navalny's organization was banned in Russia. Navalny's widow has called for a peaceful political protest during the upcoming presidential elections in Russia. According to the BBC, this attack on Volkov has raised concerns about the safety of Russian opposition figures living abroad. When I read about Leonid Volkov's attack, it shook me, Linda. It's a stark reminder of the lengths some governments will go to silence dissent. Do you reckon this attack was another attempt to stifle opposition voices?
It's a distressing yet sadly familiar pattern we see in authoritarian regimes. The aim is not just physical harm, but psychological intimidation. Silencing one outspoken critic sends a chilling message to others who might dare to speak up.
And it's not just in Russia. We've seen it happen in countries like Iran, North Korea, even China. But how effective are these tactics, really? Can they truly silence opposition?
Well, Mark, while it's true that these tactics can instill fear, they often also galvanize opposition. It's a double-edged sword. For example, the persecution of activists can spotlight the issues they're fighting for, inviting international scrutiny and support. Furthermore, with technology and social media, activists are finding new ways to voice their dissent, even from exile.
So it's kind of like trying to hold water in your hand, huh? The tighter the grip, the more it slips through. But what about the international community? How can they, you know, help protect these activists and promote democracy?
That's a great analogy, Mark. As for the international community, its role can be complex. They can, and often do, exert pressure through sanctions, diplomatic channels, and by providing asylum to activists. However, they must tread carefully to avoid escalation or being accused of interference. It's a delicate balance, but one that's crucial for upholding human rights and the rule of law.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.